Hello, you are listening to Leeds Student Radio with me, your host Matt, and a very warm welcome to you for listening into A Glimpse of China. Now, last week we talked about a topic that is very unique and distinct to Chinese culture, and that was Chinese festivals. So talking about the origin of some of the festivals and what goes on in all of them, with all the decorations, the festive spirit, and the specific type of food for each festival was also made a mention of. We also talked about some of the aspects of good fortune surrounding Chinese festivals, particularly Chinese New Year, and talked about how things like lucky numbers in China are still affecting people's decisions. We also talked about the prominence of family life around times of festivals, particularly in Chinese New Year, which is generally one of the few times that some Chinese people get to see their family, depending on where they work and where their family live. And family life is going to be the topic of today's show. So we have two Chinese students here from the University of Leeds to talk about their experiences of family life back in their home country.
This is an exclusive interview from Leeds Student Radio.
So yes, our two guests today are Zihe and Haojia. So Zihe is studying human resource management as a master's here in Leeds. Haojia is studying an undergraduate in international business. So Zihe from Tianjin in the north of China, Haojia from Shanghai. So a very warm welcome to you both. Good to have you with us today. How are you both?
Yeah. Fine, thanks Matt.
So if I just ask you a few questions to get to know you, so if I ask Zihe first, what made you want to study in the UK?
Actually, the reason why I came to the UK to study, because my bachelor degree is business English. So I think the aim of studying a foreign language is not just to learn the language itself, but also to experience another different culture, to know the local people here. So that's why I came here.
Yeah, okay. So anything for you, Haojia? Why would you say that you wanted to study in the UK?
Well, the first reason for me is like the brand name of University of Leeds. Yes, maybe it's the top 100 university in the world, and they have the best business school, one of the best business schools in the world, and that attracts me. It's the academic learning system, the best staff, many researchers such as the leader in our IB group. It's very famous, and he published many books or articles which is help our learning as well. So
So learning from real academic professionals, yeah. Then, and yes, it is very true that Chinese people do pay a lot of attention to all of the ratings and rankings of the university over the world scale when they're choosing the universities. I know in our previous shows we've had a couple of students who have come to the University of Leeds for a similar reason. So Haojia, you've been in the UK for over a year now.
Yes.
So presumably you're fairly used to the UK over here. But if you can think back to when you first arrived, was there anything that particularly surprised you?
Well, I have heard the crazy nightlife in UK.
Uh-huh.
And actually I experienced once, last year's in the Halloween party.
Right, yeah.
I spent a great time with the ears society, yeah,
right.
Crazy,
yeah.
People and crazy wearing and drinking beers and singing and dancing in the pub. That was amazing, but yes, it's very different from cultural between Chinese or Eastern cultures. People, yeah. In China are more shy.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And it is one thing that's big about our culture, university culture in general in the UK. Going out, and particularly around Halloween, if that was your first experience, I can imagine that it would have been a little bit crazy. When we see around Leeds with all the ghosts and vampires around Halloween, I can imagine that as a foreign student who is experiencing Halloween in the UK for the first time, it may have been a little bit shocking. So if we move on to the main topic of today's show, which I said is family life. Now last week we talked quite a lot about Chinese New Year, and mentioned that it's a very, very important time for Chinese people. And for many people who work in different cities to the ones that their family lives, is actually a rare opportunity to see the rest of their family. And it's very true that Everybody heads home around Chinese New Year. Nobody would stay in their place of work as long as they can avoid it. So if I bring Zuhur back into this, what would you say Chinese New Year means to you?
Chinese New Year, not just a family gathering, yeah, but also it's a symbol of family reunion. Mm. I think young generations tend to go to another city to work, mm, and it's hardly to find time to go back to their hometown. Yeah. But in Chinese New Year, they all the family gathering together, and I think family is a kind of safe harbor to family members. Whatever you have been through the whole year, you can talk to your family, yeah, those, yeah, bad things.
After, and just get it off your mind, kind,
yeah,
of thing. Yeah.
After the Chinese New Year, everything can start it over.
Yeah, absolutely. And there is a very, very big kind of concept around Chinese New Year that it is about starting afresh, isn't it? Starting, yeah, a new year, new challenges, possibly a new job. A lot of people change jobs around Chinese New Year and that sort of thing. It could even involve a change in location of the work, a change in city altogether. So yeah, it is a very a good opportunity to start afresh, isn't it? And so Hao Jia, if I ask you about your experience of Chinese New Year, what would you say are the general activities that you do with your family around Chinese New Year?
Well, like usually I went like traveling with my parents, but in some cities nearby Shanghai, like Hangzhou or Nanjing. Yes, because we have like a 1 hour, a 1 week holidays for Chinese New Year. It's such a big long time for us, you know,
yeah,
in China.
Yeah, it's very rare to get a holiday in China, yeah, and so to get a week of it,
yeah,
is quite a special occasion.
Relaxing,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and going to places like Hangzhou, Suzhou, very beautiful places, very close to Shanghai. What a great way to spend the Chinese New Year. Okay, and so we know that work and studying is particularly hard in China, and it does result in actually some parents not really be able to spend much time with their children, with the Chinese New Year and possibly the National Day being the exceptions, which is where they have relatively long holidays, relatively long in China being, well, a week. And it's kind of caused a phenomenon in China in some areas, particularly with those that have gone from rural areas to urban areas to work. And that has kind of left a concept of the left behind children. While the parents go to the cities to the work, the children are left behind with their grandparents to be brought up. And so, I mean, it could, in Western eyes, it could be interpreted that Chinese people care more about their work than about their children. So, Zuhur, to what extent would you say that this is the case? That do parents care about their children in China?
I think, like you said, it depends on the regions. For example, in rural areas, those children, like left behind children, They lead a very poor life. You know, in rural place, children means labor.
Yeah.
Children just they raise children because they need more labor, yeah, to do farm work. Parents there will not focus on their development, their growth, their education. But in cities, especially in big cities, I think there is a totally different story. Because cities couples are limited by the, you know, one child policy.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
every family only got one child.
Mostly,
so
yeah,
all, yeah, mm, all the family, all the parents will count on only one children. So they will give the children everything they want. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And so that's very interesting, differences between urban and rural China. Where there can be a lot of spoiling of their children going on in cities, partly because for most of the Chinese families, they've only got one child because of the, yeah, one child policy, which only recently finished. And in rural areas, on the other hand, children are brought up because they are really needed to benefit the economic side of the family, to give them more labour in the farms. So a very, very different kind of split between the rural and urban areas in the way that children are treated.
Like one of the examples for spoiled children is like the entrepreneurs' children in China due to like their parents are getting richer than normal people, and their children may have like bad example, like being very rude to others, and they just spend money like nothing, and they think everything can be solved just by money.
Right. Okay. So that's interesting. I mean, we've talked previously about how the gap between the rich and the poor is increasing in China. Yeah. And there are some people who really go out there and can make a lot of money if they own a big business in China with a lot of exports and things like that. And that can impact on their children as well. Very interesting to hear that about how, you know, spoiling their children, giving them too much money or spending too much money for them can actually influence the way that they are. And we know that Chinese people generally have pretty high expectations of their children. And I think this is one thing that the one-child policy has also brought about, that they only have one child, and so they expect an awful lot from that one child. So what would you say are the things that Chinese people expect from their children? I'll open the question to either of you.
Yeah, for me, I think my parents want everything the best for me, like the best education for now, maybe in the future the best jobs, higher income, and the best family when I'm married, and he just wants everything becomes the best they want, because I think it's a kind of over control for me, you know.
Yeah.
Like because my mom wants everything I do in her way, like maybe over control, like I'm such a baby.
Oh, I see. Yeah. So there's a lot of control from the parents, you know, the whole life being planned out kind of thing, where you have to get the best education, the best job, the best of everything. I mean, would you say in terms of like studies and things, there are a lot of high expectations in there?
Yeah, actually, I think it all come from a good implications, but so I think so many pressures shouldered by children will generate a negative influence on their future. For example, parents tend to require their children have good results in their studies, because actually now there is a huge population in China, and the job market remain a fierce competition. So their parents want their children to be the best of the whole lot.
And we mentioned a few weeks ago in our show about education that actually rankings are put up in schools, and so parents know exactly where their children have come within the class. They know if they've done the best, they know if they've done the worst. So that's quite scary to think, really. And you mentioned there about the negative influence of perhaps pushing their children through education too much. I mean, perhaps that's things like, you know, they lack a social ability, an ability to make friends, to communicate with people, would you say? Because they've been kind of pushed to do their studies so much. And then in terms of sort of marriage as well, I wanted to ask, it's very rare for Chinese people to not get married. Would you say that there's an expectation of parents on their children to get married in China?
I think it's a very traditional idea, like from generation to generation, like when you should get married and get children, that's the way you should do. Because I like compared to Western countries, I think parents don't push children to do the things, like just do the way you like.
Well, yeah, to a certain extent. I mean, I think they've got expectations of them, but equally they want them to have a good life. Yeah. Would you say that's the same in China? Do Chinese parents, you know, are they concerned about the sort of welfare, the happiness of the children? Or, you know, do they just really want these basic things, good marks in the studies, for them to get married and that kind of thing?
I think they really want their children to be happy, so they do those things, because especially for girls, they think if they will not marry in the early age, they are afraid of that the girls will not be married for good. So I think it's from their bottom heart, they want their children to be happy, so they do their things will in give their way. Children's happiness. So I think it's from good, but
okay, so even if it is really difficult around the sort of secondary school period in China with parents pushing their children. It is essentially for their future happiness. Yep. Good to hear, of course. Mm-hmm. So coming up later in today's show, we'll be talking a little bit more about the one child policy and how that has affected Chinese family life. We'll also be talking about opportunities to meet the extended family in China. But before that, we have a song for you today. It is called Tang Gu La. It's by Wang Lin and Wan Ma San Zhi. And Tang Gu La is a mountain range in Tibet, and so this song is named after that. So enjoy. That was Tang Gu La by Wang Lin and Wan Ma Sa Zhi. And you are listening to Leeds Student Radio with me, your host, Matt. A very warm welcome back to listen into A Glimpse of China. Now, so far, we have been talking about family life in China. So we've talked about how Chinese New Year is an important part of Chinese people's family life. And also how the extent to which Chinese people care about their children or spoil their children and the expectations that they have of their children. We have two students here from the University of Leeds who are both from China to talk us through their experience of the subject. One thing that I really wanted to talk about today was something that has been really big in the news recently, and that is the end of the one-child policy. So just to give you a bit of background, from 1979 until very recently, China had this policy, this one-child policy, and it decreased the birth weight significantly, with the Chinese government claiming that it decreased the birth rate by around 400 million. That was in a quite sharp contrast to what had come before in the periods of the 50s and the 60s, where China had experienced quite an incredible baby boom. But now it is the case that a lot of children in China live without siblings, and it's giving rise to a whole new generation, really. Zihe and Haojia both being part of that one child generation. Of course, now the policy has changed. All Chinese couples are now allowed two children, but for most, there is still a restriction to two children. So, I mean, obviously, this one-child policy has been the case for quite a while. How would you say it has affected family life? If I open this one to Haojia, first of all.
Yes, for me, I'm the only child in my family. And sometimes I feel lonely because I don't have brother or sister to share my, like, what I feel sorrowful sometimes, or share some secrets, because I don't want to talk much about my secrets to my parents. Yes. Okay. So usually I do these things with my close friends. Yeah. And the feeling like they are similar to my sisters to some degrees.
Right. So that's interesting that you feel that not having a sibling means that essentially you perhaps get closer to your friends.
Yeah.
So that's obviously one thing that can affect it. Have you got anything else, Zihe, that you thought about that?
Yeah, I think every coin have two sides. Yeah. For positive one, you enjoy all the parents' love.
Right. Yeah.
But for negative, we think we shoulder more than previous generation or the future generations. Mm-hmm. Like, we have to take care both parents.
Mm. Yeah, so there is a very traditional thought in China that is still very much the case, that children are expected to care for their parents in their old age. And of course, with one child to do it instead of having more, then it will put more pressure on them. So yeah, that's an interesting thing about the one child policy affecting family life. We also talked about earlier about how children are sometimes spoilt by their parents. So you mentioned just there, Zihe, about the fact that the whole of the love of the parents is given to the one child.
Yep.
But equally, that could mean that they are a little spoilt in a way, or that the expectations of the parents are entirely placed on that one child, which can put them under quite some serious pressure. Okay, and the one other thing that I wanted to talk about was the extended family in China. Now, for your parents' generation, for a lot of people that lived around that time, they will have had a lot of siblings because of the baby boom that happened around the 50s and 60s. And so, presumably, most Chinese people of your age will have quite a wide extended family, maybe not including cousins, but in terms of uncles, aunts, and that sort of thing. So how often would you say that you see the extended family? And what sort of occasions would you see them at?
Well, it depends. I think it depends on the relation to my parents' generations. Like, what's the relation with my mom and or with her brother or my father with his brother? Well, for me, and I have much more closer relation with one of my cousin's family due to the good relation with my grandma and her sister. Because
right.
she she chat always and like close sisters, they share stories and they also bring my parents and I to their home like at weekends, like
okay.
Maybe, yeah, not only for national holidays, but at weekends we sometimes spend time. And I still communicate with my cousin when I was studying UK. Yeah, we chat on the WeChat. Yeah.
Okay, so you keep in touch with your extended family then, and it, I'm sure it does depend on how well your parents get on with their siblings in terms of how often you see them. But what about in terms of sort of weddings, funerals, that kind of thing? Would you say they're big family occasions for her?
Yep, like a wedding or a funeral.
Many people.
Yeah, so many people come. Sometimes some people never see them before.
Right, okay. This was very much the same as over here, actually. Sort of the only time when you see some of the extended family members is when you get together as a wedding or a funeral or a special family occasion. Right, well, that is all we have time for today. So a very big thank you to Zuhur and Haojia for being with us and for talking about family life. Now, next week, we will be talking about Chinese music, discussing the characteristics of Chinese music. So we've been hearing a song every week, but we're discussing it in more detail. And who are the main popular artists in China at the moment? And also about how Chinese people learn musical instruments. So that's coming up next week at the same time. That's 12:30 on Tuesday. And finally, if you've enjoyed today's show, then don't forget to tweet us at ThisIsLSR, stating a glimpse of China. But apart from that, that's all for today. Have a good week. Bye-bye.